My name is the Reverend Kimberly Debus, and I invite you to breathe deeply as we hear these words from Gretchen Haley. For all the promises we make here, we never promise that your heart will not break, that your heart could be brave, bold, bursting open, and be saved from that ache that sweeps over all of life. We can only hope to bolster that bravery, quiet that ache, be a community that might listen your story into being and becoming, whispering along the way, it's not the end. Even now, the day breaks for us all. And so let us gather, friends, once again with our restlessness, our release, our risk, grieving the pain, praising the good, and giving thanks that we dare still to wade into the waters of love, of longing, that we keep moving, keep laughing and sighing and singing and holding the silence for this time. Come, let us worship together.
Trombley, and I serve this church as the Director of Religious Education, and I have a story for you today based on a book by Cynthia Ryland that's titled Life, and it goes like this. Life begins small, even for the elephants. Then it grows beneath the sun and the moon. Life grows. Ask any animal on earth, what do you love about life? The hawk will say sky. The camel will say sand. The snake will say grass. The turtle may remain quiet. It has seen much in its 100 years. But the turtle loves life. How could it not, with so much rain on its back? Life is not always easy. There will probably be a stretch of wilderness now and then, but wilderness eventually ends, and there's always a new road to take. Remember this: in every corner of the world, there is something to love and something to protect. And if, one day, it seems nothing beautiful will ever come your way again, trust the rabbit in the field and the deer who crosses your path. Trust the wolf and the wild geese who find their way back home. All these know something about life, that everything is changing, and it is worth waking up in the morning to see what might happen, because life begins small and grows. There is so much to love about life. This is the moment in our service where we'll pause and just remind you that your generosity is what makes the ministry of this church possible. There are 3 ways that you can give at this time. You can go to our website, and under the contact tab, there's a way to give online. You can also text First UU WASA to 73256. And you can also mail a check.
Thank you.
Our reading this morning is a poem by Karen G. Johnston. Inexplicable. How we rise each morning instead of burying our heads under bed covers, sewing them shut. Why we keep on welcoming babies with bone-deep joy to this sordid world. How we fill burlap sacks with grit and gratitude, our hands shredded as we drag one over the other. How we refuse the daily pull toward greedy dark, keeping at least one toe, some of us whole torso, in the light. Inexplicable. It's what makes a poem worth writing, worth reading, worth flooding the world with redundant, flawed attempts at explanation. It's just the way it is. There is no other way. Stumbling every time, practice or no. Just part of the bargain. The unavoidable, intractable, inexplicable bargain. How are you doing? Most of you probably answered, fine. It's easy, short, to the point. I'm fine, thanks, how are you? And we find we don't even really listen to the answer because we're too busy not wanting to burden others with our woes. But we do carry woes. Right now, we're all carrying the woes of this endless time of pandemic. But also other woes. Some of us have medical issues. Some of us are going through emotional things. Some of us have stress or conflict in our workplace, our community, or our families. We're worried about our democracy and healthcare and the suffering of others and the suffering of our planet. We're all bearing the heaviness of a collective national angst and have been for a long time. As songwriter David Gray sings, my oh my, you know it just don't stop. We are, in fact, not fine. But most of us are also not too bad. We're okay. We're having a good day. We have toilet paper and food. We're happy about something we saw or watched or something that happened with work or something that a member of our family did. We're relieved that we feel okay. Maybe we feel better after a medical problem. We resolved an emotional issue. We have a few extra bucks in the bank, so we're fine. And yet we aren't. I know I'm not. My oh my, you know it just don't stop. We are in a time none of us are prepared for. We've not had a global pandemic like this in our living memory, and unlike a singular event like a hurricane or a tornado or fire or even a terrorist attack, this keeps going and has changed all of our lives in unexpected and unbelievable ways. My oh my, you know it just don't stop. We are in a time of canceled everything. Trips, vacations, weddings, ordinations, graduations, conferences, camps, shows, concerts, and dinner parties, and picnics, and potlucks, and time at the beach or the lake or the mountains. And we miss not only those people we would have traveled, celebrated, and connected with, but also people we once loved who are no longer in the picture. Not only those who have died, but also ex-partners and estranged family members and friends who have moved far away. Their absence reminds us of friendships lost, relationships ruined, and the unexpected grief of singlehood and empty nests. My oh my, you know it just don't stop. And as we make our way through these odd days, we think about the changes to our lives, not just those we are facing now, but the many transitions we've experienced, whether recently or in years gone by. Maybe we started a new job, which means we left an old one. Maybe we started a new relationship, which means we changed how we relate to someone intimately. Maybe a new family member arrived, which changes the dynamic. Maybe we decided to retire, which means we left one kind of life for another. Maybe we moved, which means we said goodbye to a home. My, oh my, and no, it just don't stop. And while change happens, even while good change happens, we forget the effect change has on our spirits. And right now, so much is changing almost every day. And when we remember the grief that comes with any kind of change, it can hit us sometimes really hard. We don't think about ambiguous losses very often, and whether they are losses related to this pandemic or other more common changes in our personal lives, they keep us in a state of, well, fine. We're fine. Let's breathe. Maybe when you took that breath, you felt it in your body, this realization that we're not actually fine. But we do have a choice, even in the midst of a pandemic. We can stay in the not fineness, or we can figure out what to do. My friend Kenny asked me recently, what keeps you going? What does it mean to seek and find joy in this time of hardship and sadness? Where is grace? I bet you're wondering too. This question set me back on my heels, I can tell you, because I'm not sure I have any answers. But I might have some ideas. And I think it starts with remembering who we are and whose we are. So let's start with who we are. Remembering who we are requires us to set aside the things that ambiguous grief tries to tell us, that we are not worthy of love, of healing, of connection, of success, of joy. Remembering who we are requires us to embrace the complexity of all that we are. And that's not easy. Every single one of us has cracks and scars that are evidence of a life lived through grief and trauma and sadness and illness. Every single one of us is going through things no one else could imagine. Every single one of us has our own stories of how we got to this moment, how we hold the complex messiness of just being human. And it's often at this point that some of us look around and say, well, it's not that bad. I have a lot to be grateful for, when what we need is someone to just say, yes, that sucks. In an article in Good Housekeeping, writer Liz Brown reminds us that we need to assess and complain and acknowledge and grieve and get mad if we are going to land in a place of gratitude. What we forget to say when we talk about the book of Job in the Hebrew scriptures is that after Job lost his family, his farm, his livelihood, his friends, his reputation, he spends many chapters complaining to God. Loudly, making lists of the things that are making him miserable and processing his feelings about it, embracing our true, sincere selves that deserve better than this life has flung at us. When we shortchange our struggles, when we dismiss our grief, we aren't being gracious to ourselves. And being gracious means acknowledging our ingratitude. Letting that process helps us move away from shame and toward acceptance. We are so hard on ourselves. So let us take a moment. Sit back and breathe. Close your eyes if needed. Marvel at your life, at the grief that has softened you, at the heartache that has wizened you, at the suffering that has strengthened you. Despite everything, you still grow. Be proud of this. Remembering who we are is about remembering that these feelings of ambiguous grief, whether from this pandemic or from other changes in our lives, do not define us. Ambiguous grief doesn't define others either, by the way. Remembering who we are also means remembering that everyone is carrying additional grief that we just don't know about. Even close friends and family members may be bearing a burden you can't imagine or put into words. We need to remind ourselves just how hard the hidden stories around us might be, which is an invitation to remember not just who we are, but whose we are. There is a remarkable moment in the film A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, where Mr. Rogers, played by Tom Hanks, invites his friend Ben to remember who he is connected to. Mr. Rogers says, "Take a minute to remember who loved you into being. I'll watch the time." We did not watch a montage in that minute, but rather watch Ben's face as he remembered family and friends, mentors and teachers. And I suspect I wasn't the only one who also took up his invitation. In that minute, I remembered that I am not isolated and disconnected, but rather held in my past and my present by people who love me. And so I invite you to take a minute to remember who loved you into being. I'll watch the time. I hope you remembered some wonderful people. For me, the remembering of those who love me doesn't fix everything, but it does help me refocus. In the midst of ambiguous grief, even in the naming of our ingratitudes, even in the release, we often can't quite remember who we are and what grounds us. It is these people who love us that we can turn to, and we can say to them, "Remind me of what I love." In some ways, it's harder now in this time of physical distance, and in some ways, it's easier as friends find friends who love playing games online or want to watch a beloved TV show as a watch party, or learning from each other, or discussing books and doing it all online on the phone or in epic email chains. Being physically distant does not mean not being connected to our communities, and community matters, especially religious communities like this one. Ralph Waldo Emerson reminds us that, in spite of all the selfishness that chills like east winds the world, the whole human family is bathed with an element of love like a fine ether. How many we see in the street or sit with in church, whom, though silently, we warmly rejoice to be with. Read the language of these wandering eye beams. The heart knoweth. When we remember whose we are, we ground ourselves again amongst those who get us, who listen, who encircle us with affection and care. And we are more likely to remember the other side of that too, to encircle those we love with our affection and care when they are struggling. It matters, these moments of kindness, moments of grace. They are born of compassion, born of affection, born of connection. Moments of grace are unexpected, but touch us in ways we can't always put into words. But ah, the heart knoweth. Let us continue our time of quiet reflection as we consider the unexpected moments of grace that reconnect us to our deepest grieving selves with these words adapted from Beth Lefevre. Grace shows up even in the broken places, even where it hurts. Grace shows up even in the places where fear impedes our full engagement with life, where self-doubt corrupts our self-love, where shame makes our faces hot and our souls cold. Grace shows up where we would doubt our own goodness and richness and fullness and depth, where we would doubt our own significance, our own profoundness. Grace shows up in times of isolation, when we feel alone, disconnected from community, disconnected from our everyday lives. Grace shows up even as we are in process, even as we stumble, even as we pick ourselves up again. Grace shows up unexpected to remind us we are loved and we are whole. May we breathe in grace. May we breathe out love. So my friend Kenny asked how to find joy in the midst of hardness and grace in the midst of these difficult times. It seems to me the answer is remembering who we are and whose we are, connecting to the people and things that call us back to our best selves, and remembering that we are whole and worthy. The answer is remembering that grace is abundant, and that we deserve the unexpected grace of a helping hand, the glimpse of a flower, a text from a friend, a memory of love, a pun that makes us giggle, a deeply loved song, a smile as you log in to a beloved community. The answer is remembering that we can't change the past, we can only choose how to go forward. The answer is acknowledging the pains and sorrows and troubles we've experienced and finding ourselves whole and held and loved anyway? The answer is knowing that one service, one conversation, one moment does not fix everything, but every time we do one thing, grace shows up and makes it just a little easier. The answer is knowing that even in these hard times of separation and isolation and real, tangible concern for our own safety and the safety of others, grace shows up and reminds us of all that is our lives. The answer is knowing we get to write a new story and find the blessing in what's next. Grace shows up. Love shows up. As our benediction, I offer these words from the poet Jan Richardson. You might think this blessing lives in the story that you can see, that it is curled up in a comfortable spot on the surface of the telling. But this blessing lives in the story beneath the story. It lives in the story inside the story, in the spaces between, in the edges, the margins, the mysterious gaps, the enticing and fertile emptiness. This blessing makes its home within the layers. This blessing is a doorway and a portal, passage and path. It is more ancient than imagining and makes itself ever new. This blessing is where the story begins. Go in love. Go in joy. Go in peace.